Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
America needs a tidal wave of the old-time religion.
I have sinned against you.
How dare you!
We have no need to doubt God.
The heart of Babylon is preparing the nations to receive the Antichrist.
I didn't even build that house with money from the church. I built it with money from my book.
I don't make this stuff up.
Repenting of your sin.
It is a moral issue.
They got together and swore a pact to the devil.
I just enjoy seeing people worship, praising God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to
Believe It
or Does One.
Does not. Well, you do.
When you got it, everybody, and then they're there.
Yeah, when you got to go, you got to go. That's what they always say. 100% off the top of the thing.
Trevor says it. Stamp of approval.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Bomp. Put in a big stamp sound effect right there. Put a big red approved stamp on the screen for everyone to see. That's how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Those are some editing notes for you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Damien, what's new? How's life?
You know, it's not too bad. It's not too bad. We're getting into the cooler season. It's time for layers. It's time for all that fun stuff. I'm trying to make positives of all the shit that's going on in the world, but
why? What's going on?
You know, just life. We get to fall back tonight though.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We get an extra hour of sleep, so everything's gonna be okay.
What I like now is that phones and stuff do it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even
think about it.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why am I not as tired as I usually am?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the one where you get more sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm bad at math.
Fall back, spring forward.
Yeah.
That's the worst one.
Yeah. It always reminds me of that Avril Lavigne song.
Skater Boy?
No, the one that's like, fall back, take a look at me and you'll see I'm for real. And if that don't appeal to you, let me know and I'll go because I flow better when my colors show. And that's the way it has to be, honestly, because creativity can never bloom in my room. I'll throw it all away before you lie. So don't call me with the compromise. Hang up the phone. I got a backbone stronger than yours. I feel like I missed a line in there.
I don't know if I know this song.
If you're trying to turn me into someone else, it's easy to see I'm not down with that.
I don't remember it. And I was around when that came out, I'm sure.
It was on the same album as Skater Guy.
Oh yeah.
So we're going to get into this like light and breezy episode.
Yeah.
But first, a little announcement.
That's true. Trevor and I have been doing a little bit of talking, a little bit of soul searching, some might say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some hand stuff. Yeah. And no. It's just talking and soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to change things up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So,
It looks like we'll be taking a little bit of a break just to kind of figure out what the next steps are.
So basically, I'm personally just kind of growing tired of the format. Mm-hmm. I think we've been doing it for over 5 years now.
Yeah.
And almost 6 years, and I think just some change up I think would be good. I think I want to move away from like the history aspect of it and move more into like a little more current events. But again, we don't really know exactly.
Yeah, we're gonna sit down, have a few talks about it, figure out what's the best course of action for us going forward, and for everyone at home going forward.
Yeah, so I think we're gonna take a break starting in January. So we'll finish it this year, take a couple months off, and then come back refreshed with some new ideas.
Mm.
I'm still gonna keep doing the video essays, but for the podcast, we'll just take a little bit of a.
Are we planning our return for Easter Monday?
Ooh, that could be fun. The birth of Christ, the rebirth of. Wait, the. Resurrection of Christ, the rebirth of the belief.
It's a resurrection.
Yeah.
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 Like, it's like when Gandalf went from Gandalf the Gray to Gandalf the White, right?
Yeah. And then what's the one where Gandalf has the big breasts?
Oh, yeah. Gandalf the Hugely Endowed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
one. That was my favorite one. Yeah. They never mentioned it, oddly.
Yeah, weird. Yeah. They just...
He kept riding that horse and was just like... You know?
Exactly.
I don't know. You think he would have said something.
Yeah.
Gandalf, your titties are huge.
So, normally, mm-hmm. This is the worst... segue ever. But normally we record a little while ahead of time and then we release. But this time we're recording the day before the release for a couple reasons. And one of them is, with everything going on in the world, I've been a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know how it's been affecting you, but I've had, you know, a few fights and discussions with people and just kind of feeling defeated.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I know, like, I don't want to say I'm fortunate, but I'm not really around too many people who I have too many differing views on some of the stuff as of late. Yeah. So it's a little easier for me to be a bit more open discussing that with people. Yeah. But I do know, like, I've heard from you, I've heard from another couple friends of ours who are really, like, really badly affected by everything that's happening and kind of the discourse about what we're about to discuss.
Yeah, and I think, like, so, obviously, like, if you're friends on Facebook with me or whatever, mm-hmm. which some of you are, but, yeah, I stand firmly with Palestine. Mm-hmm. I think I'm against genocide.
Yep.
I think that genocide as a rule is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that I've been hearing a lot is to be careful that not to be anti-Semitic. And I completely agree. And I've
been
way outspoken against anti-Semitism for a very long time and will continue to be. And I think it's crazy to me. And people are being awful to Jewish people.
Right.
Like, it is not okay. And like, I've heard people saying, like, they have to put their Sorry David away because people just assume that means they stand with with Israel. And it's like, no, it's a religious symbol. Like, yeah.
Yes. The problem with a lot of this is that bigots and hate-filled people are using this as an excuse to be more bigoted and hate-filled.
Yeah.
The problem is that a lot of the people, like, a lot of the pro-Israel side is using that as kind of like a smokescreen.
Exactly.
As well as, like, the Holocaust. They're saying, like, well, but the Holocaust, like, if you don't believe this, you're anti-Semitic. It's like, if you're critical of Israel as a state and you're critical of Zionism, it does not mean that you're critical of... It doesn't mean you're anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And to claim that someone is anti-Semitic because of that in itself, is that not anti-Semitic?
Yeah, I think so. And, like, the thing I've been thinking a lot about, too, is, like, traditionally, historically, people have been very racist against people who they have a disagreement or in conflict with.
Yeah.
And that's always been wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always wrong in, like, World War II when you'd have those caricatures of Japanese people. Just because you're fighting somebody doesn't mean you have to be racist, right? And same with Vietnam, same with, like, even the war in Iraq and things like that, you get like these caricatures of Arab people, and it's always been wrong. It's always been bad to, just because you disagree with something a government is doing doesn't mean you should be prejudiced and racist against the people from that country.
Right. Now, I think the issue with something like this, especially for peoples of the two like conflicting parties here, one thing that really complicates it is just how long this has been going on. Like, that's something that, when I say complicated, I don't mean like, because I think it's a pretty, I think we can see what's happening and it's not complicated in that sense, but it's complicated in the sense that there's so much history.
Yeah.
And there's so much just like what people are told from the time they're born. Like, there's a lot of indoctrination about these things. There's a lot of these things. And when you're in these difficult situations, it's so easy to just kind of other people. Yeah. And it's something that they have control over and something that they can, like, kind of rally behind. And it's just like, this is why we're mad. And this is the person we're mad at. Whether that's the case or not isn't necessarily true. But I think that's kind of an unfortunate consequence of this type of conflict.
Yeah. And I think because we're going to get into more about just religion and conflict. Mm-hmm. So we won't be just talking about Israel-Palestine, but it'll definitely come up. But, like... just religion and conflict in general. And I think the one thing I keep hearing is that it's not about religion, it's about land. Mm-hmm. But when it's holy land, and the reason that some people are there is because it's considered holy, then yes, religion has a part in it.
That's one of those things where I'm just like, I want to be respectful, but at the same time, I'm just like, it's so fucking stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's such an arbitrary reason to like lay claim for something and then to genocide a people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And
so, here we are.
Yeah, here we are. Exactly. So when you look up, when you search, does religion cause wars? What you're going to get is a lot of, yes, it does. But you're going to get a lot of Christian apologists who argue that it doesn't. And one of the biggest apologetics is, so this guy in a book in like 2005, 2008, somewhere in that area, late 2000s, said in his book that what he did was he took this book, these three-volume book called The Encyclopedia of War, and he went through and he categorized each war, what was the reason for each war, and then he did this calculation, and he said that only 7% of wars throughout history, documented wars throughout the history of time, only 7% were because of religion. So his argument is that there's way bigger factors than religion, and that religion really isn't an issue. So that's their main argument. And then he, or actually I think later on somebody else, goes and says, yeah, and if you only count, if you take out anything involving Islam, that brings it down to 3, implying that Islam is like the worst.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the big things that so many of these apologists do.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, what about Islam?
Yeah. What about Islam? Is one of our most common comments.
You sent me a comment about it just last night, actually. Yeah.
And Islam, like any other religion, is guilty of this as well. I am not a Muslim. I do not believe in their religion, and I think they have done a lot of evil things. But I think in the West, a lot of times that they just become a scapegoat, and it's like it's a whataboutism.
Yeah, we can't have accountability for ourselves because they're worse over there.
Yeah.
See? Look how bad they are.
Exactly, and it drives me fucking bananas.
And also, too, on the show, we don't know much about Islam.
Yeah.
We're not equipped to speak about this, really.
Yeah.
So that's why we usually don't.
Yeah, we usually don't. And the thing is, too, when you say, and if you remove anything involving Islam, you're not saying that Islam is the aggressor in that situation. And do you know what conflicts usually involve Islam? Conflicts that also involve Christianity.
Yeah.
They're usually at each other's throats. It's not usually just one religion involved. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make any sense. But the other thing that doesn't make sense about the 7% thing is that he only took wars where religion was explicitly the reason. So wars that had, like, you know, the blank Christian whatever war, like something that had either religion in the name or was well known to have religion as the main reason.
Right. Even though most of these probably were driven by religion.
Yeah. And religion is usually a factor. Mm-hmm. It's not usually the only factor. It's a factor.
Yeah, it's a really good way to divide people and say, like, oh, well, we're right and you're wrong because we have divine authority.
Exactly.
And I think any war started by any sort of king, especially ones who believe in a divine right, by default, that's a religious war, is it
exactly.
not?
Exactly.
I mean, if you believe that your leader is appointed by God and you're going to war for them, no matter the reason, that's a holy war.
Yeah. Exactly.
So,
and if you believe that what you believe is the truth, and that God of the universe, the creator of the universe, has spoken to you or your people and has given you the truth.
Spoiler, he hasn't.
He hasn't. You're going to think that your side is justified in whatever actions they do, and it's for the greater good. Even if there's some evils, you're doing it for the greater good. And that's rarely true.
You know what? It seems like, historically speaking, the greater good has never been for the greater good.
No.
More often than not, it's just taking marginalized communities and then just abusing them.
Yeah.
Or killing them.
Yeah. It's back to our comments. I got in an argument with somebody in the comments about bathroom laws, like bathroom bills.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
And it's like the argument that somebody could dress up, a man could dress up as a woman, pretend they're trans, and then be a predator is like, it reminds me of that meme. Have you heard that meme where it's like, what if people who go missing in the Bermuda Triangle are time travelers? And like, what if? It's like, it doesn't matter. That's not happening.
No.
That's a weird scenario you've created in your head to mm-hmm. other a group mm-hmm. Because you're afraid of that group for other reasons. Mm-hmm. And then you find a reason to marginalize them. And you find a reason to make them the oppressor and you feel like the victim when it's completely the other way around.
If someone is going to go into a bathroom to abuse somebody or assault somebody in yeah. any way, they don't care what bathroom it nope. is.
They just walk right in.
They're not gonna dress up. They're not gonna pretend. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
There's absolutely no reason for them to need to do that in order yeah. to commit these crimes that these people are so afraid of.
Exactly.
One, it's not happening that often, yeah. really. But even if it is, it's such a nothing argument.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not what's happening.
No, not at all.
But I mean, so much of it, again, it's historical, too. It's yeah. stuff that...
Yeah.
That's what they always said about like gay people were yeah. saying, like, oh, they're all predators. They're
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Well, they tried to, in the 70s, they were trying to pass exactly. laws that gay people can't be teachers.
Yeah, because they were worried about the children.
Yeah.
Which is just another smokescreen. It's another yeah. thing like, oh, we care about the children. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Greater good right there.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. And yeah, people do this with religious groups. Mm-hmm.
Religious groups pushed a lot of that stuff. Yep. The Christian right was a huge part of a lot of that stuff in the 70s and the 80s.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, that's what drove a lot of this yeah. stuff. It's the puritanical, you know, bullshit about what they think a good Christian nuclear family should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, it comes out of a lot of... there's a really good article on Medium, by the way, about this that I recommend. I'll put the link in the notes. But, yeah, the thing they talk about is superiority. Like mm-hmm. like I said, like if you, yeah. if you think God is telling you... And it's our group versus their group, the in-group mm-hmm. versus the out-group.
Yeah.
It's so easy to blame the other group for all the world's problems. It's just like... Like, I mean, yeah, we see this with racism all the time. Like, you marginalize a group, you put them in this community that doesn't have the resources because you don't want them around you. You deny them food and you deny them jobs and you deny them regular amenities that everybody else gets. And mm-hmm. then crime rises in that neighborhood and you're like, oh, it's because of they're this marginalized group or this, yeah. they're at this ethnic group.
And, yeah, well, that goes back to with redlining and, you know, pushing people into poorer communities and then complaining about all this stuff, too. It's again, you are creating these problems and exacerbating them and yeah. then blaming those communities for the problems that you created.
Yeah.
Which, back to Israel-Palestine, so yeah. much of that is
exactly.
like,
yeah.
I'm not saying what Hamas is doing is right, but I understand how we got to that
yeah.
point.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's like everybody always wants you to condemn Hamas, and yeah, of course.
Of course we do.
Yes.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean we don't look at the reasons why it happened.
Yeah.
And it was the same. This is the same with any terrorist attack. As soon as somebody says, yes, but we should look at our accountability, like 9/11, like what yeah. have we been doing around the world to make people so mad at us? And then as soon mm-hmm. as you say that, you're the bad guy and you're siding with the terrorists. And it's like, no, I'm not saying what they did was right. It was very bad and evil. But
the U.S. government has been, you know, dealing in the Middle East and all those countries
yeah.
for decades,
yeah.
you know, putting money in, pushing war, starting coups, all this shit. They've been doing so much over there.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to say it was something was bound to happen, but
yeah.
something was probably going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so let's talk a little bit, some history and some more recent conflicts that have to do with religion, things like that. And this will be very brief and kind of a, and we can, feel free to obviously interject with any thoughts or anything.
All right.
But, 638 CE is when the Muslim rulers took over Jerusalem. And then the Christian crusade started in 1099 CE.
Mm.
So a little while later.
Well, here's a couple of religious wars.
Yeah. And that conflict went on for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And Jerusalem and the quote-unquote Holy Land has been pretty violent for quite some time. And it's not like, I mean, yeah, it was in Jewish control before that, but then before that you had the Roman occupation and then you had the Babylonian. I mean, read the Bible, people. If I say anything, if there's any message I have from this podcast, it's read the Bible. But apparently they were getting along pretty well with the Muslim world. The Christian world and the Muslim world were getting along pretty well. And then they were like, what if, though, we had Jerusalem?
I mean, all it takes is one guy in power to think like, oh, this would be really nice to have.
Yeah. And then Zionism. Mm-hmm. Happens. I'm skipping a lot here. We'll go back. But Christian Zionism too happens, and it's basically if we can get the Jewish people back to Israel, and we can help in any way we can, then that'll bring about revelations, and the rapture will happen, and we'll get off this planet, and everybody will be destroyed, and we're the good guy for trying to bring out the end of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like another part of the Western involvement in the Middle East as well. I know another thing I'd read about was a big reason the U.S. wanted involved, like are such proponents of Israel, not just for that, but also just so they have basically a base in the Middle East. So they have access to everything over there. It's such a easy port to oil.
Yeah, exactly.
And all that shit, right? I mean, whether or not that's the case, which I'm sure it probably is a big part of it, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, even the fact that they won't say ceasefire, like Trudeau just said humanitarian
Netanyahu
break.
Netanyahu already said that they don't want a ceasefire. They said no to it. They already poo-pooed it.
Yeah, and even like, Trudeau
after
said humanitarian
carpet
break.
A
like,
neighborhood.
Yeah. Even our good friend Bernie Sanders, he's not saying ceasefire. He's saying humanitarian break, which is better than what is happening. But it's very political and it's very like
interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it is still wild. Like I was seeing a thing, people calling for Trudeau to stop selling weapons to Israel.
Yeah.
Which is still crazy to think that we do.
Yeah. It's saying, hey, please don't these murders anymore. But also here's some weapons to do those murders
but
with.
But not just that. A country that's, you know, supposedly has this reputation as like the peacekeepers, you know?
Yeah, for exactly.
How long?
Yeah.
Canada's the one they come in, they keep the peace, they do this, yet we're selling weapons to a country that is actively bombing civilians.
Yeah.
That seems a little fucked, don't you think?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, we're on the world stage. We're famously known for being, the UN peacekeepers. A lot of times those are Canadian. Yeah.
I should see. I think there was a petition or something about that. So if we can maybe find that, that might be a good thing to link
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then from as long as there's been Christianity, there's been anti-Semitism.
Yep.
Jewish people have been kicked around Europe. Basically, with calls of deicide, because they say that they killed Jews killed our Lord, so we have to punish them for it.
Which is always weird, because wasn't your Lord also Jewish?
Yeah, he was a Jewish man. All the disciples were Jewish people. All the everybody who wrote the Bible
was Jewish.
Was Jewish.
So
yeah,
what's the problem?
Exactly.
I don't get it.
And, marginalized, hated.
Well, I get it. I get why they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's just an excuse for them to do terrible things.
Yeah.
But.
Exactly. Yeah.
You count on Safeway for groceries, so why not count on them for your wellness, too? The Safeway Pharmacy offers a full range of services to help protect your well-being, like walk-in vaccinations, prescription delivery, free immunization screenings, and more. And right now, get $25 off your next grocery purchase when you fill a new or transferred prescription at the pharmacy. Plus, get $50 off your next grocery purchase when you fill five more. See the pharmacy or the pharmacy page on Safeway.com for details.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many massacres in France. And then it's not just those three religions fighting. Obviously, mm-hmm. there's other religions, well, not no, just the Abrahamic religions.
One of the big ones, though. Yeah. So,
yeah,
hard to ignore.
Very hard to ignore. Have you heard of the doctrine of discovery?
I don't think so.
Okay, so as you know, they're discovering new parts of the world as people are going out and exploring. As Christopher Columbus is sailing the ocean blue. They're finding these cultures.
I have heard of this.
Saying, what do we do if we find a place where there's already people? And so the Pope steps in and he's like, you know what? If they're not Christians,
make them
Christians by force, or just take over their land. So yeah. There's a website. It's Indigenous Corporate Training Inc. But they have a very good summary of the doctrine of discovery, and it's really what set the framework for the country we live in, how to treat the indigenous people, mm-hmm. and it's been kind of the doctrine of the church for a very long time. The Catholic Church has disavowed it now and said, no, we don't like this, but basically it provided a framework for Christian explorers in the name of their sovereign to lay claim to territories uninhabited by Christians. If the land was vacant, then they could define it as discovered. By vacant, they mean Christians didn't live there, so they discovered it. So that's, yeah.
Right. I do like what you were saying. They don't like it now, but they liked it for, what, 600-700 years?
Yeah. And they disavow it now, but they're not going to do anything.
They disavow it now, but, you know. 700 years of, you know.
Yeah, colonialism.
Colonialism and genocide. And
have you heard the thing about how Gen Z's called the Christopher Columbus generation?
No.
Because every time like they discover something new, they think they're the first people to ever discover it. but we love our Gen Z's. It's a disgusting thing. Let's see, on June 2014, a unanimous 8-0 decision that marked the first time the highest court in Canada has recognized the existence of Aboriginal title on a particular site. I should have read this before. The doctrine of terra nullius, that no one owned the land prior to European assertion of sovereignty.
Is this just a way to kind of like not have to acknowledge Aboriginal land claims?
Yeah, basically.
Again, and this is still happening all over the place. This is happening in Hawaii too, right? Yeah. Like that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Right now.
Fuck, yeah.
And Oprah.
Like, what's that?
Oprah.
Yeah.
That piece of shit.
Yeah.
And other pieces of
it's
shit.
It's funny because we've been Elon saying Musk forever too. That Oprah's a piece of shit.
I have been, yeah.
And
you know what's really funny about that? For some reason, the first thing that I really remember me not liking about Oprah was when she came out with the Oprah chai at Starbucks. Yes. Is that not weird?
That's so funny.
Because I remember seeing it and there was like a promo video and just like, I made this chai. It's like, no, you didn't. You went into a focus group. You tried three things and said, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
And then you marketed it.
Yeah.
But it made it seem like it was this journey and she like grew the leaves herself. So I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And then the more I learned about her, the more I'm like, okay. Yeah. Not great. Not a great person. And then she inflicted Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz on the world.
God of, John of God was the huge one too, where, just a piece of shit rapist that she introduced to more victims. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just
I don't know. I just think if you're that influential, you should have a little more accountability for the people that you bring, that you give a platform to.
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't think that you should try and brand yourself as this wholesome wellness kind of guru.
And then she's
just
like,
me.
Right after that, she's like promoting her book on happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And like her version of happiness is ignoring the world around you and just being happy. And it's like, I get there are times where you have to like take a break from everything and like, but that's not how change in the world happens.
No, for sure. Yeah. And like, you know, there's that whole Bill Burr bit where he's talking about like her early career was built on exploiting like people.
Yeah.
Like she was a Jerry Springer show for a long time, which, you know what, to a certain degree, I'm like, hey, if that's what you want to do and you're like fine about that and you're upfront about that and, you know, like that's kind of what it is. I'm a little torn on it. I'm like, sure, if that's what people want to do, but don't like try and pretend that you're like this amazing, wonderful person who came by everything honestly and you're doing this like great wellness kind of thing. You created an empire off of exploitation and ruining people's lives. So
yeah, exactly.
Weird tangent.
No, I'm okay with it. I think growing up, we always knew what was happening kind of in Northern Ireland with the Troubles.
Mm.
And that was always troubling for me when I was a Christian, as a teenager. Like, why are two Christian groups fighting each other?
I feel that way about most different Christian infighting. I'm like, you're not that different.
Yeah, it's true.
You're the same book.
Yeah. And that's another issue where it was more about marginalized groups fighting back. And and it's less about religion and more like you got lumped in with your religion and then things happened, but it's still religion's a huge factor. Yeah. Like you can't just dismiss religion as a factor because there's Bosnian War. So starting in 1991 when they Bosnia split off from Yugoslavia, the Serbs, I'm really butchering this. It was basically a genocide against the Muslim population. And Sudan, the Darfur situation, mostly Christian population getting destroyed. Again, there's ethnic and racial reasons as well, but they also happen to be mostly Christians that are getting killed. The Rohingya genocide. I don't know. We could list all the genocides and battles and terrorism. That's another thing too. We barely touch on terrorism. Like that's not a international conflict, but like someone blowing up an abortion clinic or somebody, blowing up shooting up a school. A lot of times there are religious reasons for that too, or shooting up that guy who shot up the grocery store. Just like there's racial reasons, there's religious reasons.
100%.
Yeah.
Like so much of like our history and colonialism and everything like that is religious and racist, and they're all tied together,
they're
right?
So tied together.
Like we look at the subjugation of like the Native Americans, or we look at slavery with like black people and things like that. So much of that is like they were looked down on because they weren't white and they weren't Christian, right? And they're from a different place, so they were exploited. Or you go like even like the British Empire in tons of places like India, and like looking down on that, and like there's a whole mess of stuff with like the caste system and everything there too.
Yeah.
But like again, it might not be front and center the first thing or the reason, but it's so tied into all the other reasons that you can't ignore what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And Yeah, exactly. The slavery, it was like, mm-hmm. we want to have slaves, but it's against the Bible to have Christians, other Christians as your slaves, so let's just go somewhere where we...
Which is weird, because didn't they end up raising a lot of them as Christians?
Oh, yeah. So, and they converted a lot of them to Christians and kept them as slaves, because that's how it started, but that's not how it kept going, but yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. But even now, like, you see within churches, you'll have a black church on one side of town and a white church on the other side of town. And it's like, yeah, they, yeah.
I find that such a, it's really wild to me, like how influential the black church kind of became.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's. I guess they saw it as like a beacon of hope, but to me, I just, anytime I think about it, it feels like a home of oppression.
Yeah.
That was forced upon a marginalized group.
Yeah.
And has just kind of become much bigger than what it was. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know that's not what it is for people, but
I
can't
like
help
it's...
but like just think that whenever I see it, you know?
It's true. Because now it's more like that's the hub of the community. That's like where social activities happen. This is where you know, you meet your wife. This is
I totally understand that. And
but
that's
historically, it's like, how?
Yeah. And I understand that, like, that's a big pull for a lot of people into religion, is for that, like, community hub and that social interaction and a lot of stuff, especially now where we don't have as much of that, you know, that's not online anymore, right? So I understand that side of it, but at the same time, it doesn't feel worth it.
Yeah it's true.
But again, I'm probably speaking from a place of privilege, so it's hard to justify. I feel like this is something that it's I don't want to make any like hard and fast like no I have to quantify everything that I'm saying.
It's funny too, like with conflict and with religion, with wars and religion and stuff like that. It's so easy as an atheist to be like, religions cause all wars, and then just put your head back. And
no, it hasn't. There's way more. It's more complicated than that. These things aren't black and white issues. Like that's the same thing we were. I understand why a lot of this stuff is happening, and you can see like reasons for it, but it doesn't mean that we know everything about it. Yeah. And we're not saying that this side bad, this side good, because that's not what it is. It's so many shades of gray.
Yeah, and it's the thing is too, like, is religion stopping wars? No, it doesn't seem like it is.
No,
and it's supposed to be a force for good, and it just doesn't feel like that to me.
No, it's
with the evidence that there is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. No, it just seems like it's continuing a tradition of hatred more than it's pushing a future of peace.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, religion disappears today. We're going to find other ways to have wars.
Totally. There'll be things that would take its place.
Yeah.
And fulfill those same kind of purposes.
Yeah. But I mean, like what's happening in the Congo right now, it's equally horrifying as what's happening in Israel-Palestine. And it's like, and that's less to do about religion and more about corporate greed.
Right.
More about our need to have a smartphone. And just like, I'm going to start crying. But
I mean, that's the problem with a lot of this too now, right?
Yeah.
Like we're very aware of like the Israel-Palestine thing just because it's so prevalent in Western culture, but there's so much happening right now that we're not seeing and that we don't have news coverage for and we don't necessarily know about, right? And stuff that's been happening and ongoing for years and years and years too, right? This stuff is unfortunately going to keep happening.
Yeah.
But
I think staying silent about it and just being like, well, it's going to happen.
I wasn't trying to imply that.
Yeah. But I think some people do kind of have that like kind of defeatist, like, well, what are we going to do? And it's like, I don't know, but we got to do something. I don't know what it is.
Well,
sign some petitions, go on some protests.
First thing, protest, vote.
Yeah. Voting is huge.
That's a big thing lately, is especially younger people are not voting.
Yeah.
And this has been something like, I was a little more apathetic about it years ago, but I feel like the last like 10 years I've gotten a lot more.
Yeah.
Like at least just go out and do something.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, we have such minor problems compared to what's happening in the world in Ontario.
Yeah.
But like just the state of things over the last like few years with our current premier yeah. and stuff that's happening, and not to say that he's the sole cause of everything. Like it's kind of been years of terrible people selling out to corporations yeah. and, you know, donors and stuff. But these things aren't going to change if people aren't voting.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, even like it's tough. It is tough. Like you look mm-hmm. at Canadian politics, it's like, you have Trudeau, who sucks in so many ways, but is way better than Pierre Poilievre.
Yeah.
And then, but there's also, like, the NDP, probably, they're who I usually vote for, but also, like, they've been pissing me off in some areas too lately, and they've been taking some stupid stands, like...
And I think for me, I have such a problem with this idea of career politics now. Yeah. And it seems that it seems to be something that is so disincentivizing for people to actually have the best interests of the populace in mind.
Yeah.
Where all it ends up being is just that they're very good at seeming like they're doing something good for people, when at the end of the day, all they're doing is trying to line their pockets and line the pockets of the people who are paying them.
Yeah.
And that's something that I can see why people would get, you know, a little jaded about down. So but again none of that's going to change if you don't get active and you don't vote and you're not actively trying to do this stuff. Like exactly. I don't know if there's not an easy solution to any of this. This isn't stuff that's going to happen overnight.
I wrote a letter to our member of parliament, to my mm-hmm. member of parliament in this neighborhood about Palestine, and then like a couple days later I got a thing in the mailbox from the same member of parliament that she's just putting in everybody's mailbox. But it's like mm-hmm. Basically saying she stands with Palestine while also having the first thing you see is an Israeli flag.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why did you choose that? Okay. I guess it's where it's happening, but it's, I don't know. It's weird. Like I'm glad you're, you know, taking a stand in, and I'm glad hopefully enough people have written you to be like, are you going to do anything? But yeah, it's Damien. Do you think we should thank some beautiful patrons?
Yeah, I think they'd really like that.
Yeah.
Let's thank them.
Oh my God. Wow. Thank you so much. Wow.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, everybody, welcome to our Bible study where we study the whole Bible.
We're studying everything from A to Z, or E to B.
E to B, that's the biblical alphabet.
That's when you start at the end of Bible and go to the beginning of the Bible.
Yeah.
E to B.
E to B.
We go back to front.
Amen. Back to front, just like...
Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to go back to front. You can get an infection that way.
Oh. I'm doing it wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, I'll go. I have a doctor's appointment this week, so we'll discuss.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I hope it's not one of those science doctors. So.
Yeah, me too. No, he's a
Christian scientist.
Christian scientist, yeah. They're just going to look at me and be like, it's probably because you're evil.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while now.
But speaking of evil, I've got some huge prayer requests. Oh,
I can't wait to pray the evil away from all of these lovely, lovely people. Amen. So let's just raise them up. Away from the evil. We want to raise up Morgan, and let's not forget good old Trash Kitty. And oh, how could we forget Kenneth and Bunny Boop, and of course Rumbling Bread.
Rumbling Bread. Sorry, that scared me. Yeah. Rumbling scares me, but I have a huge prayer request for Eric. Eric's been, you know, that thing where you dress up as a bush, where you put like the hunting stuff on, so you have like leaves all over you.
Yeah.
And then you hide and you like jump out and scare people.
Yeah, and then you set yourself on fire and pretend to be the Lord.
Yeah. Eric's been doing that a lot lately, but like not in areas where there are trees. So and they're not hiding like it's a tree. So they're just like standing in the middle of a brightly colored shopping mall as a tree, and people aren't scared. They just see him coming from a mile away. So, Eric, I appreciate the effort, but we just pray that you just come up with a better prank.
Yeah, learn to hide better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So we're just going to lift all these people up to the Lord God Almighty, Savior of the planet Earth. And
only the planet Earth.
Only
the center of the universe.
Center of the universe. And we're going to do some Christian rock lyrics. Yes.
Can't you see you're not making Christianity better? You're just making rock and roll worse.
Okay, so this Christian rock, you know Christian rock, right?
Yeah, I know it.
Oh, yeah. You're a big fan of Christian rock.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are there many Christian rock bands that have guitars shaped like crosses?
I don't think there's enough.
Is that sacrilegious for them to do that?
I don't know, actually. That's a good question, because have you seen the cartoon of the Christian, or of the cross that has like a face and dances around?
No.
It's ridiculous.
But I mean, like, Prince had his, like, love symbol guitar.
Yeah.
So why not one shaped like a cross?
That's
like
that's
that'd be
question.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
If any band would do that, it'd be Petra, who we're going to talk about today.
Oh.
Petra, the greatest Christian rock band of all time.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
This song is called "This Means War."
Okay, I'm excited
because they don't care.
You know, of course, that this means war.
Son of the morning, highest of all. You had so much going till you took the fall. Had a place in the glory, but you wanted it all. Impossible ends, but you had the gall. It seemed so unlikely that you would rebel. Such a worthy opponent that you knew so well. But you went down fighting when you heard the bell. Took a third of all heaven when you went to hell. This means war, and the battle's still raging, war. And though both sides are waging, the victor is sure, the victory secure. But till judgment we must endure, this means war. So that's about Satan falling.
This is about Satan falling,
yeah,
okay.
Which isn't really biblical.
So. No. Who made up that Satan fell?
A lot of people, but I think it really got solidified with Dante. Mm. Dante's Inferno. Paradise Lost. Sorry.
Ah.
Paradise Lost.
Was that Milton?
What's that?
Milton?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. It's a mixture. Like, there's a couple prophecies about kings falling from glory in the Bible that people will retroactively
say
make
it
about
was Satan,
Satan falling. But
right.
It's about, like, hey, you're going to fall from glory because you're occupying Israel or whatever. And then. So prophesying against them, and then later people are like, no, that's referring to Satan. So
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It all goes full circle.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it seems weird that you're talking about a guy who, you know, kind of saw the bullshit that God was doing. He's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to leave. Yeah. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, your plan isn't very good here. Yeah. I'm going to try my own thing.
Wait, so you're all-powerful and supposedly all-loving, but you're promising eternal damnation if they don't do everything that you say to the letter.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Do you
right.
Think, so when he left heaven, he took all the good musicians.
Is that what he did?
He must have, right? Oh. Like, because that's why... Satan's rock is way better than Christian's
right.
rock.
True.
Yeah, all the artists, like, satanic art is way better than Christian.
Yeah.
Well, I guess the Renaissance, but...
But I feel like a lot of them weren't...
They were fucking...
They weren't necessarily Christian. A lot of them were just... their patrons were Christian.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
A lot, like,
yeah.
So much of that stuff was commissioned Christian artwork.
That's true.
Not because of, like, oh, it inspired me to draw the Lord.
Yeah.
It's like, no, some rich guy paid me a lot of money to draw the Lord.
Yeah, which is why, like, Michelangelo did God in the shape of a brain. As, like, because if you look at, like, the creation of man...
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, exactly a brain, and that's because he's... saying, yeah, I've been paid to do this, but really we created God. It comes
right.
out of our mind. God.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought he drew it in the shape of a Brian.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I get those two mixed up all the time.
Yeah, same. Do some Brian teasers.
There's not enough Brian teasers out there.
It's true. Well, thanks, Brian. You've been great.
We love you.
There's one person named Brian listening, like, holy
fuck. Hey, that's me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Love you.
Work, 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 Sky Moon. This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.